about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
If we asked Bob and Rebecca and me to list the percentage of our contribution to this show, and then we added up those percentages, it would add up to way more than 100.
Well, yeah, but that's because you guys would be wrong.
Well, exactly.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, egocentric bias.
Whenever you think about yourself, you elaborate on what you've done because you're close to it. You remember every single time you took out the trash, every dish you washed. And the more psychological distance that there is between you and other things, which we've talked about before, and the more abstractly you think about it, you might think, yeah, you know, the other people, they do stuff too. But because you remember the details of what you've done, it's so vivid for you that you overestimate how important that contribution was to an overall effort.
You know, I think that where this comes into conflict is when there are actual consequences to one's estimation. So if we're deciding profit sharing,
right,
or we're deciding how to divide up, you know, some contractual discussion, whatever it happens to be, well, now how much I contribute now gets put on a number that actually the total can't exceed 100%. And now we have a different kind of discussion.
And that gets to an issue of fairness. So one of the reasons that this egocentric bias matters is because there are different definitions of fairness. If you think about it, the two main definitions of fairness we know about are equality and equity. So equality says everybody gets treated exactly the same way. And equity says everyone gets stuff to the extent that they've contributed. Now, under an equality model, the amount of effort people put in doesn't really matter so much,
right,
because everybody's going to get the same thing at the back end. But under the equity model, you want to get something that's in proportion to the effort that you've put in. Well, if everyone overestimates their percentage contribution relative to everyone else, no one ends up being happy with what they get because everyone feels like they've gotten less than their share.
And one of the things that complicates dividing all of this up is that effort is not equivalent to accomplishment. So somebody feels like, I worked really hard on this. Well, yes, but your contribution really wasn't that meaningful, or the quality wasn't that good, or whatever. And the idea that we gauge what our contribution means based on our perceptions of our effort and not on the actual quality or the actual contribution that our efforts provide.
And another source of this egocentric bias is that we are exposed to a lot of things in our environment, and we don't necessarily recognize the influence that those have on what we think and what we remember. So somebody says something to you in an offhand comment yesterday, and then you don't really remember that comment, but today you have this brilliant idea that's based on that. And now you think, I just came up with this.
Of course.
Without recognizing the importance of that prior conversation. Yeah. And of course, if the other person is part of the project and remembers that conversation, now they're thinking, you stole my idea.
Yeah.
Right? Well, who's right? You know, in some sense, both people are right. That is, one person is recognizing that they had made an unacknowledged contribution to the situation, and the other one thinks, I came up with this all by myself. And from each of their perspective, they're actually right. It takes a lot of effort to recognize that there are elements of the context that you're in that are influencing how well you do in any situation.
Really, that if there's a caution to give to ourselves, it's that when we think this is my idea, it's to think quickly, you know, it's probably impossible for me to say what was my idea, meaning solely from my own experience, and what actually came from lots of other things that I can't really trace back.
Yeah, because if you think about it from an evolutionary standpoint, it would require mechanisms to be able to really trace back that intellectual history, as Bob was saying. And for most animals, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. And humans are the only ones who've set up social structures that would allow us to have to care about who gets the credit for ideas.
Exactly.
And it's not just humans, it's particular cultures, right? So we've talked a little bit about culture before on the show, but you know, the United States being a reasonably individualist culture, meaning that we tend to like to give credit to things to individuals. We want to know who invented that, as if a single person could have invented anything. That's a cultural idea. There are plenty of other cultures that are a bit more collectivist in the sense that they spread the credit for things over the group a little bit more, where you might place a particular idea in a particular time frame or context, but the individual who first stated it best isn't the one who gets the lion's share of the credit.
Yeah, right. And this relates to issues of memory that we've talked about many times in the past. I mean, every recollection of a memory is a reconstruction of a memory. As we recall memories, we certainly reconstruct them often in ways that make us look better with every recollection that then becomes our truth.
So we've talked about this issue of fairness, but another one comes from people believing their own press. So if you get the lion's share of the credit for something, you move forward believing in a degree of power that you have that you don't necessarily have. And this can often lead to significant failures down the line. So for example, think about Ron Johnson, who was the architect of the Apple Store when working for Apple. Tremendously successful. Apple stores are wonderful. Then became the CEO of JCPenney and kind of believed that he could just duplicate the success of the Apple Store with JCPenney. Now, I don't know. You know, when I compare the Apple Store and JCPenney, they're both stores. And he just kind of made some sweeping changes there that that were disastrous. He's no longer the CEO of JCPenney. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, you could argue that an egocentric bias is a part of that, that if you come to believe that it was you and your brilliance that caused this to happen, then you don't take into account both the context. What was the world situation and the product situation that made the Apple Store successful, and the people? And if you don't acknowledge all of that, then when you settle down to do another project, you don't put all of the right pieces into place because you come to believe that through your own sheer force of will, you're going to make this thing happen.
Next week, Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke will talk about Gestalt principles. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.